Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. Welcome back, and it is now or never. And as a matter of fact, some things we want to kind of cover before we get back into the content or back into the layout and the committees for your constitutional county. What we want to do is we'll just kind of go through some obligatories and some reminders. As you know, tomorrow is Friday, Feedback Friday, but we're going to take time out to provide a message to Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene. This way, we can kind of put it out there on the record of exactly how she needs to be basically confronting this Bolshevik revolution going on in Congress and going on in the main street of America. It is important to place context to what is really going on. We got to stop basically looking downriver at the symptoms of the problem and just patching or trying to fix the symptoms. What we have to do is we have to stop the problem, which we have to start looking upstream. I am remiss in trying to get a hold of Bob. And as a matter of fact, I actually need to make a call with John Durash as well. So that's going to be happening. Hopefully I can report by next week some information regarding those phone calls. But let me emphasize, and I appreciate all of you who have actually gone and gotten a subscription from the Wyoming Conservative Chronicle. I've already got a little feedback that some people have gotten that. So let it continue. If you want to actually start reading how a newspaper should be reporting things on the Constitution, things that are really happening in government, then you need to actually look at what and how to do this in Wyoming. This is a brand new newspaper that's starting out. And we're here to help. I'm not a part of it, but we're working with them to help them. And so hopefully we will find that this will actually have an impact in informing the voters. So every state needs to start challenging. As a matter of fact, this is one of the key issues that we're going to be going through. What is the press? Is the press, these platforms that actually censor and create propaganda? Or is the press, the people, reporting, their views on what they've seen happen or what's going on? Because if you're silencing what's going on and you're basically only reporting what you want the people to know about, then you've become a propaganda mill and you've actually become hostile towards liberty. And we have to start calling things out for what they are, folks. The press needs to be redefined as the people. We live in an age where you don't have to have a printing press to report something. We live in a time when everybody can become a part of the press in writing articles and or even the photojournalists who are taking pictures of what's happening. Anybody can go outside their house and take a picture of the chemtrails over your house. Everybody is seeing these chemtrails, but nobody understands the context of these. If you go to, and I just did this yesterday for a good friend, go to TarFox, or actually go to Google or DuckDuckGo. I know Google, it'll actually come up with Google, but it should come up with with DuckDuckGo or your favorite search engine, but just Google TarFox, TARFOX, space NASA. You don't have to put a plus or anything else, just TarFox NASA, and you will learn about how NASA started doing experiments and basically studies and tests in how to spray in the upper tropospheres. And the best ways to spray using the prevailing winds, the jet streams, and so forth, how to have the greatest effect in aerial spraying. So don't tell me that those things are contrails up there. Go do the research on what a contrail is. A contrail is vapor that will vaporize and actually disappear within minutes. This is why I point this out to people. The physics are not being altered in space people are spraying, because as a plane goes by, you can actually see the contrail. And then all of a sudden, the contrail becomes a little bit, you know, bigger, you know, more defined. And as that as that plane starts flying away, because you'll always notice a true contrail, that actual moisture that is formed from the path of the air, or I should say from the aircraft flying through the air in its path, you'll see that contrail. It'll start dissipating before that plane is even gone. Because it is just moisture. It's a moisture event from the plane disturbing the air, which has moisture in it. And so the point is what happens all of a sudden that contrail becomes permanent and then turns into clouds. Folks, all you've got to do is spend a little bit of time looking at those things, and you'll say, there's something different about that, because the contrail before there is all gone. And I can see where the contrail ended or began again, because you can actually see these long-lined clouds. Don't tell. As a matter of fact, there's an article, and I need to probably provide this as well. They already started submitting with CBS that one of the things that they needed to do, because they were using this as an argument for fighting global climate change, by spraying in the air to cool the earth so that we don't heat up. Now, I want you to look historical. Look over the empirical data and the studies of humanity and mankind on the earth. Mankind's greatest points in time of productivity, where it thrived the most, was when the earth was warmer. Oh, well, shoot, that flies in the face of what they're telling us. Why is it that they want to cool the earth? Because they can constrict and reduce productivity and agricultural growth and so forth. The people that are manipulating our world, our environment, are evil. And that's all capital letters, evil. I can't put it any more plainer for you. As you know, the show is sponsored by RepublicReview.org, and you're listening to the only academic show that gives you academic evidence and academic evidence-based solutions of what we have to do to get our liberties back and to actually restore our constitutional framework and our constitutional government. So, as we typically remind you, and we do have a couple of endorsements, I've kind of trimmed it down to two endorsements a day. Constitutional Education at constitutioneducation.us. And as a matter of fact, constitutioneducation.us can help you and your organization just by using some of that stuff in teaching the Constitution. I have a plan and a desire to actually provide you with much better constitutional education. But what Keith Borders provides on constitutioneducation.us is just as good, if not better, than you'll find. It may not be as professional or polished. And as a matter of fact, I like raw stuff. But it is more accurate than you'll find from Hillsdale College and any of those that tout that they will teach you the Constitution. They will teach you the revisionist view of the Constitution. Anyway, the other promotion that we want to get into is RadioDustCovers.com. The endorsement is high, and as a matter of fact, if you're looking for good quality product protection, then that protection would be with RadioDustCovers.com. Just contact Stan at RadioDustCovers.com. His phone number, I believe, is on his website as well, and so go do it. Go get your stuff protected and get her done. Now, there's kind of a long overdue article. I may have mentioned this a long time ago, and I haven't brought it up, but the exigencies, the urgency of the times dictates that I need to get this article done. So I'm working on an article regarding the First Amendment petition, its power, how to use it, and how we really need to be using it. And I'm going to give you a little bit of history, and I'm going to be basically pointing to the subject matter expert himself, Robert Schultz. And so I hope that you're waiting with bated breath like a lot of people. But anyway, let's just kind of dive forward. As a matter of fact, let me remind you that if you need content covered on this show for a meeting or for your group or what have you, or you want to set up a virtual meeting with me with your group, we're here to help. I'll be happy to do that. If I can make the time, I will make the time for everybody. I know I can't be pulled, and this is one of the reasons why I'm actually trying to teach you. And, you know, a leader actually makes sure that everybody can replace them so that the important work can get done. I'm not trying to be the single point failure. I am actually trying to create, if not 50, hundreds of GRs or hundreds of constitutional warriors and constitutional champions that don't try to interpret, that rely upon the ratification debates and what is constitutional and how that constitution was defined. This is why we rely heavily upon the ratification debates, because it is the legal appendages to the Constitution that provides the terms and definitions to the Constitution, where we do not need, you know, a crystal ball or any type of, you know, oracles to interpret what the Constitution means. It is very clear when you read the ratification debates, this is what it was designed to do, this is the intent behind this, blah, blah, blah. And so, yeah, I just said blah, blah, blah. Anyway, that's what we have to do. So we're here to help. And folks, we want you to understand, if you want to get this straight scoop, then you need to take a little bit of time and start reading these articles, because in these articles, I actually cite these things, and then it'll help hopefully drive you to reading and at least scanning through the ratification debate so you understand exactly where these nuggets of gold are buried. Anyway, we'll be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much. If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me. AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and the 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review, as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416. Well, okay, so before I dive into these committees again, let me kind of go through one other little nugget, because this is something I really haven't covered, I'll just say at all. I have never dived into, because bottom line, when it comes to what is constitutional and what the federal government can do, it is really right there in the Constitution. We have, and I emphasize this, we have an enumerated constitution. And when I say this, I cannot emphasize what and how things are enumerated, because bottom line, the roles, responsibilities, and powers that the federal government possesses, as well as the property, the land, the property that they can possess, is enumerated. What does the enumerate mean? Enumerate is listed or mentioned or identified. So if it has been identified or listed in the Constitution, then that's what they can do. Keep in mind that a listed, enumerated, or specified Constitution, and this is the only Constitution in the world that only grants specified roles, responsibilities, powers, and property. It is the only one in the world that limits and identifies the only things that the federal government has jurisdiction over. There is nowhere, nowhere, and this is actually emphasized in the ratification debates, that no general powers have been delegated to the federal government. It was so intense during the ratification debates, but even though every state ratified the Constitution without a Bill of Rights, it was so intense that Madison basically succumbed and said, okay, we will create a Bill of Rights for you. And so when you start looking at the Bill of Rights, you go, oh, okay, so this is the Constitution I know. But actually, it's not, because you don't have rights in the Constitution. You have privileges and immunities. And the federal government cannot make any laws if it is not within their enumerated power. So the Bill of Rights was basically just nugatory restrictions or further declaratory limitations placed upon the federal government. See, here's what happens. All of a sudden they say, hey, we're limited on this, so we need to make a ruling because maybe we infringed upon that. And as they start, you know, looking at and examining in a court case the right of religious expression, this is how they backwards fall you or push you backwards into accepting atheism. Clearly, the federal government and the Supreme Court cannot make any law regarding the establishment of religion or the exercise thereof. So what does this mean? This means that if they say that you can't teach Christianity in a school, that means they just made a law respecting the practice, establishment, or what have you. When it says they can make no law, that means they can't even rule upon it. When it comes to religion, when it comes to the freedom of the press, the freedom of speech, the right of the people to peacefully assemble or to petition. And they've been making laws denying you of every single one of those rights ever since they got out the gate. It really started getting out of hand after the Civil War and leading up into the Civil War. In other words, those last few years after Madison and most of the framers had all passed away, that's when, you know, the holds started coming off and no holds barred. They started taking swings and they started attacking and started implementing this communist government. So in a grand scale, the progressive era, there have been probably four phases of progressivism in America. The first phase was brought in by Teddy Roosevelt. The second phase, Teddy Roosevelt and Wilson. The second phase was FDR and into and up to Nixon. Because for the most part, I mean, even Kennedy was a progressive. Even though he may have said some really good things and he'd done some decent things, he was still a progressive because he actually didn't work on dismantling anything. And it's the same thing with Reagan. Reagan was really a progressive, but you can look at each of the presidencies and you can kind of see where there's kind of like, you know, progressivism makes this big leaps and jumps forward, then all of a sudden it's stunted. But there's never a slide backwards. In other words, there's this little pause where it kind of gains its footholds and kind of grabs its tentacles into every little gap in space so it can get a sure footing so it can crawl forward in its next round. And so the next round or the next pause was Reagan. And then from Bush on, we have pretty much had a progressive terms of presidencies, from George Bush, Clinton, George Bush Jr., Obama, even Trump. Now, Trump kind of created a pause. I have to admit that Trump did create a pause. But again, he really didn't undo anything, which is why Biden has been able to pick up where the progressives have left off and to crawl us forward. Folks, that's the status quo. Gain a couple of steps, two steps forward, one step pause. Two step forwards, just take a pause. Because we've got no steps backwards. Show me where we've restored the prayer in school. Show me where we've actually taken back, you know, the parental rights. Show me where we've done anything that has actually pushed us back into the direction we were supposed to be on, where we're enjoying our liberties again. Every time they take liberties, they never restore them. So the thing I've never really talked about are the federal titles. And what was brought up yesterday in one of my standing meetings with some of the people I meet on a regular basis, it was brought up, the Title 42, and without permission, I don't like to mention anybody's names, so I don't want to tell you the person who I'm talking to, but it was brought up that Biden is going to suspend and actually basically undo Title 42, which is the deportation, and he's going to open up our border for a massive surge. The video on immigration, on Reclaiming the Republic on YouTube needs to go viral. You need to download it before YouTube actually takes it down. Because when people start seeing this video, because this video places context to what is going on our southern border. This is an invasion. And the president and Congress and the Supreme Court are obligated to support and protect our Constitution and to protect our society from invaders. This is specifically an invasion. And this is why Congress needs to be removed. The president needs to be removed because now the president's got blood on his hands. Technically, if you look at who is supposed to call forth the militia to actually put upon that southern border, it is Congress. Congress is supposed to, they're the ones that are supposed to be responding. They're the ones that are supposed to guarantee that we're to be protected in Article 4, Section 4. We're supposed to be protected from an invasion. And so here we see the president now taking direct action to open the floodgates wider. That is blood on his hands, and he must be removed. And as a matter of fact, the charges must be treason because he is creating direct rebellion against our nation and its laws by allowing people to come here outside of the constitutional process called immigration. It is mandated in the Constitution that there be uniform immigration laws, and immigration has never been a block. It never, by definition, is it a block of people like refugees or just asylum seekers. It is not there. Immigration is an individual initiative where somebody takes the initiative to come here and say, I would like to become an American citizen. And the United States reserves the right on a case-by-case basis to reject and send back those people or tell them, don't even come. We're too full. We've got too many people. That is the law of the land, folks. And what they're doing is they are deliberately trying to destroy everything that we see. I'm telling you, the heavens are parting and the war is about to rage. It is now or never. And so sometimes when I see and hear some of these things, I go, are we really past that point of no return? Folks, we have to continue working. We have to continue praying every day and getting up off of our bloody knees and actually doing everything we possibly can to fight this evil. I would rather die fighting evil than I would by, you know, embracing it or actually going down the path of allowing it to succeed. We are obligated as patriots, as citizens of this nation, to protect and defend it from enemies, foreign and domestic. And so I am calling on all good citizens to demand that Biden be charged with treason. One of the things we need to also emphasize is you need, and we're going to be working on that script. I hope to get it done this weekend. I've got just so much work to do, and I need your help. I need your help. But I'm working on a script to basically help you inject in this upcoming congressional election before it happens in November, that we start creating a dialogue with every senator that's up for election and every congressman up for election. What they are going to do at first when they're sworn in, are they going to actually fix what happened on January 6th and let them know about the lawsuit? We're going to create a script for you so that you can actually just read this so that everybody can start poking this beast and getting Biden removed. Anyway, we'll be right back after these two promos. Folks, as you know, online fraud is on the rise, and it's more important than ever for your new and existing customers to be able to determine whether they are using a website with a secured connection. If you didn't know, Google mandated in 2017 that all data submitted to its linked websites must be secure with SSL certificates. Without SSL certificates, your site is listed by Google as not secure. In other words, without these certificates, your site will be harder to find, and this will impact new traffic and ultimately your revenue. Whether you're a blogger or in e-commerce, AdLocal will help protect your website from all forms of data breaches, phishing scams, and build a secure environment for your businesses, big or small. Contact AdLocal by calling 866-88-ADLOCAL. Or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com for custom pricing. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416. Okay, so let me get to the point, because I need to get to these committees. The one thing I've never done is I've never broken down the background on the titles, the federal regulations or the code of federal regulations. Just so you understand, and I'm going to give you the gist of this, these titles, the Code of Federal Regulations, were created in 1935. Oh, well, what was 1935? Well, that was when Roosevelt came along and actually started trampling once again in the new, and actually Hoover was the one that initiated the next progressive era number two. I mean, the official progressive era in America, number two, the second one, was initiated by Herbert Hoover, who was a Republican president. And so to be clear, these federal regulations are a huge leap for the federal government to basically open the door in usurping almost any and every power that they wanted to start creating. Now, I've never got into the history of the annotated Constitution, and to be honest, it's probably pretty hard to find as far as when they started going down this path, but I believe you'll probably find that the origins of the annotated Constitution probably go back to the 1870s when they started creating unconstitutional corporations. So this is why it's really important to go through the ratification debates. Now, let me just say this. That when it gets really bad And you may want to have some good things to read if all of a sudden you don't have access to power. We get back, knocked back to the Stone Ages. And let's say you're a prepper. Let's say you have food and everything else. You're going to want to have those ratification debates. You're going to want to read those, because we're going to need people that will rise up when we finally get our footing back, or when things change for our benefit. Then we're going to need to understand how that Constitution was defined. And so the more people that understand the ratification debates, I'm just saying that if you don't have a printed copy, because you may not have access to electronic stuff anymore. Got to remember that you may be actually forced into a state where, you have to go off the grid. That's what prepping's all about, because the only way you're going to be able to pay for your electricity, the only way you're going to be able to, sustain, your life and your house and everything else, is via the mark and being registered with the beast and accepting that mark. And so, just a word to the wise, that you need to, you probably have some things in hand, or maybe you need to start getting smart now. One of the things I actually need to tell you is we're going to be having a talk, an interview, or a series of interviews with a judge, a common law judge, and actually a judge in Georgia. His name's Paul Nally. And I've been hoping that over like 2 years I've been trying to work it out. And so I'm hoping that next week I can start doing some interviews with him and start exposing you to some details on common law. This is really important, but I want you to understand that many people, because one of the things I talked to him about was trying to create a bullet list or trying to distill this process. What do we need to do? And so, he basically said the simple answer is we have to educate our way out of this. And when I hear those types of things, I think of the mosaic process of changing a culture, which means that it's going to take 40 years, or it's going to take a long time to actually get to where we need to be. And so I don't know if we necessarily have that time, and I don't know if we necessarily, can not do it in a more streamlined, more efficient, and more effective and efficacious process, if that makes sense. And I think we can. I think we have the ability to do more with less people. This is where these committees come in. And the reason I'm telling you this is because this is the segue into talking about these committees. Now, the committees we were talking about, the committees that we were talking about, we already covered basically the administrative committees. Fundamentally, you start off with the Constitutional Compliance Committee, the First Amendment Petition Committee, the Training and Education Committee, and the Events Committee, because all four of these are integral in both recruiting, educating, or training people, and so forth. This is how you build your organization. So these four committees are kind of, as you start creating this organization and you getting people to start realizing that they all need to be a part of this and nothing else, because your militia is the constitutional organization. There's nowhere in the Constitution where it says you need to be a part of a party. This is the end role for the party system. Now, we believe that we can start using, I believe, and I'd love to see the Constitution Party and the Independent American Party merge. I'd love to see this, because it means that institutions that have been created for their own relevance can actually set aside their self-relevance and unite on something so important as the Constitution. To me, that is like, that's a signal of a catalyst. It's like an explosion that everybody will hear. Wow, two parties just merged on one issue, and that issue is the Constitution. Wow. Anyway, so we're talking about infrastructure, and I started breaking it down, and I think everybody kind of gets this idea that infrastructure is, not just your roadways, it's not just your water, it's not just sewage, it's not just the electrical, It is, you know, your communications infrastructure is the internet, the wireless towers. You need to look at your lines of communication. It is your airport. It's any way you can travel, any way you can communicate, any way you move commerce. That is infrastructure. And this committee needs to actually understand the county, its infrastructure system, so that you can start looking at how you can improve your infrastructure system. Now, a lot of things have been created and a lot of things have been done that, you know, lend towards the 18th, 19th, and 20th century, you know, paradigms of technology and so forth. It may be time, you know, and in some ways, making something newer doesn't necessarily mean it's better. You know, like this new concept of electrical cars, if you don't know that that's a sham, it is a sham. The best car built today are the cars that will last and last and last and last, and that is the combustion engine. We may not be wanting to run fossil fuels anymore. As a matter of fact, I'm going to tell you right now, hydrogen is the fuel and energy source for the future. Think about it, folks. Two-thirds of this earth is covered with hydrogen, or I should say hydrogen and oxygen. In other words, we have an unlimited supply of hydrogen and oxygen right here on this earth. Anyway, the next committee that you need to create, or another committee, these aren't in number of sequence, it's kind of in the number of how I laid it out as you're looking at this, and you can actually get this presentation, and we're on page 5 on Take Action, on the Take Action page on Reclaiming the Republic. So the next committee is the Commerce Committee. So the Commerce Committee is basically your businesses, your business to business, your business to retailing people, and so forth, as well as your interface to the government, your interface to the county, and your interface to the states. Many of you have sales tax. And so you need, as a part of this infrastructure, is the taxation that goes with this as well. Because near as I can tell, every state has an added tax on the sale of gasoline to ensure that they're acquiring money for the repairs of their roads. Well, as everybody goes down this path of electrical, how many kilowatts are being taxed for the repair on the roads? You have to understand that for well over a decade now that they've been creating these hybrid cars or these electrical, you know, bypassing the gas station cars. Well, they're putting wear and tear on your road, and they're not paying their fair share. I mean, isn't that what Biden has been pounding his chest over? You're not paying your fair share. Oh, well, it's time, folks, that we actually start addressing, do we have a taxation, and are we going to go down this path of using gasoline tax or some form of tax of, you know, we don't want to go down this toll road, because what government wants to do is they want to tax every mile you drive. Now, remember, I brought this up before, that the two objects, I'm going to clarify this for those of you who, you know, think that, you know, we're endowed, and this has nothing to do with the Declaration of Independence. These are the two philosophical ideas or drivers behind why we create government. Madison stated this in Federalist Paper 10, I believe it was 10, and he basically states that there are two objects for government. It's two primary focuses or purposes. This is what they're supposed to do, is they're supposed to protect life, and they're supposed to protect property. They're not supposed to be taking life unless it is to defend your, you know, your life and your, you know, culture, your heritage, or what have you, if it's under attack, you know, of genocide, what have you. That's what government's supposed to do. It's supposed to protect you. And it's supposed to protect your property. And how is it that we've reversed their role or their focus from protecting property to where now they tax property and take your property? They need to be able to tax, but they cannot be so aggressive that they, you know, can create that kind of burden. In other words, they should not be able to have the energy to be able to take your property, take your home from you, take your car, or take anything. Now, we'll be right back after these two promos. I've been on the radio for a couple of years, and for over a decade, I have been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we're going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument for Republic Review, and even most conservative entertainers will not support Republic Review due to self-interest reasons. If you have not read my bullet point descriptions and executive summaries, you need to so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can read my bullet points and view the Republic Review flowchart. You can even order my executive summaries, books, and other content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you will know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content on reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can become a part of the solution. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416.
And only because it begs to follow up on this, because we're talking about property, because the next committee is actually the property committee, or another committee here that happens to be next, from infrastructure, commerce, now property. Where in the heck did the government get the authority to actually do asset seizure and or forfeiture and seizure? Now, it's clear that they have the authority for letters of marque, which basically means the seizure of property of a foreign or hostile state. Now, when they start saying that you are a hostile state, well, hold it. That means that they have to redefine the freedom of press, you know, the freedom of speech, these types of things, as well as, you know, what you are doing and how they can, because we're at a point now where the government has basically perverted and subverted the Constitution to a point where they can come in and just take your home and everything from you. And they do it at a snap of a finger. And if you think they can't, then you've been living a sheltered life. Because this is happening to way too many people. This is an abusive, evil government that does this to its own people. And this is precisely the driving factors behind the revolt of the revolution. And I'm telling you, what they were doing back then was nothing like what we see today. So I want to be very clear. The property committee will actually start redefining things in a much grander scale. Now, I'm not going to go into all of these different issues and details because we're going to be doing that after this, after we go through these committees for your constitutional county, because we're going to place context to property. You have to understand that every square inch of land within your state is basically state property, which means that the state has the ability to create some form of taxation, because that's what they used to do. But you can't create taxation so burdenous. So here's the problem. And I've said this before. I've talked about this when we were talking about the Idaho conservatives that want to undo taxes. Well, yeah, you know, it's nice to undo taxes, but you first have to actualize what government is supposed to be doing. Are they supposed to be providing, wiping your nose? Are they supposed to be providing welfare and all of these assistance? No, they should not be doing the majority of the stuff they're doing. So you have to first, before you start doing a huge overhaul of the taxes, you have to overhaul what the government is doing. Are they doing things that they have the constitutional authority to do? And if they are, and you start looking at it and go, well, why were we given this constitutional authority? Oh, well, the federal government mandated it. Oh, well, that's not constitutional. So you have to start challenging what government does so you can at least basically clean up and wipe away those things it shouldn't be doing. Just now say, okay, this is how much money government needs. Now you can start determining what level of taxation you need to actually help support the government to do the job for you that you've granted and delegated to it to do. And remember, those primary things, if it's not about protecting life and protecting property, it probably shouldn't be doing it. When it comes to education, there are much better institutions than government and those who carry guns to put them in charge of your classroom. It is always better to get the appropriate entity and organization to provide society the services needed, such as churches, communities, the people, so forth, instead of using government. It's a lazy, slothful, and actually an evil society that turns to government, statism, in solving all of their problems. So what we'll do is we'll go through these issues, but the next committee that we want to just kind of touch on is the Press and Media Committee. We've talked a lot about the press. We've talked a lot about how it needs to be redefined and so forth. So one of those things that actually needs to be delineated, and the reason this is a permanent committee, because I believe that there needs to be a jury duty and or a jury service that, you may not want to actually serve on a trial. This will allow if there's a huge need for, the media jury, then they will be pulling in people for the media and the press. But what you will do is you'll have to go through articles and for 1 week or whatever, going through news broadcasts on TV as well as reading articles, and everybody will have an equal share of going through this as a small team in evaluating. And maybe you create a 3 or 4 person team or however they do this so that they have a good diverse section of the people. And they'll give you basic instructions that, the press is required to provide, or the platforms, if it's considered a journalist platform, it needs to provide all sides of the issue. And if they're only providing in what you read through what they're printing, anti-gun laws and anti-guns and, pro-progressive things, then it has to be rated and basically flagged as a propaganda mill. So it is no longer an objective journalist platform like Facebook, like Twitter. Those are platforms. And when they start censoring and they don't allow and they want to dictate a narrative, then they are becoming basically propaganda platforms, which then the state, because the state should, and you should be driving laws for the state to basically say that any platform that denies the free speech will be hit with this huge tax and will be considered adversarial and blocked if they don't pay the taxes. In other words, Facebook goes by in your state. Nobody will be able to have a Facebook account. And it's not about censorship. It's about regulating and holding them accountable. Because anybody that says we only want to have one side of the message is somebody that is actually supporting censorship. Because that's what Facebook is doing. They are censoring. They want to point the finger at you for, we want to ban these books from our library. Well, the library is a platform. And the platform for whom? So is the library where you should be able to get any and every book under the sun? No, because the library has this, I'll call it patron, called a child. And school libraries have patrons called children. And children must not be exposed to things that they are not prepared to be exposed for. It is the job of the parents to ensure that a child is not inflicted with that type of abuse, which is why we have laws in every state about exposing children to pornography. But the school system is absolutely, you know, thumbs up. They can give kids pornography now? Where did the law change? Oh, well, they're just bypassing the law. They're saying, well, this is academic. I'm sorry, folks. It's illegal. It's perverting our children. It is destructive to our society. And we have to take a stand. It is now or never. The next committee that you're going to need is a vetting committee. And the vetting committee needs to have the standards of testing. And when I say testing, it's not testing on platforms. It's not testing on ideologies. It is testing on the Constitution. Do you understand the Constitution? Therefore, can we trust you as a public servant? Because if you don't understand the Constitution, then how do we know how you're going to be able to support it? Because when somebody comes along that says, hey, we're going to do this, and it's unconstitutional, if you don't understand the Constitution, you might actually vote for something, and then we'll have to get rid of you. Because it is our job to hold you accountable. And see, this is why the parties have completely failed, because there is not one. There is not one party in America that has the ability to remove any politician that is, you know, bearing their name and be able to remove them to say, you were elected by using our party name and now you're violating our platform or our Constitution, and therefore you must be removed because you have violated your oath of office and thus your membership of this party and so forth, and be able to remove these folks. This is why, if we really want to get rid of the parties, if we really want to start purging out the problems in America, we have to start demanding in compliance to the Constitution. We're going to have an elections committee. That elections committee is going to actually go and take us back to precinct paper ballots and actually having people come in. And if you want to participate in the election process, it's not about making life easier so that we can cheat. It's about making it a civil duty. Everybody, as a matter of fact, in many places, there's lots of states that basically have laws that say if you're employed, your employer has to give you time off, ample time off to be able to vote that day. So on the day of election, and so this is where restaurants may want to actually shut down, or they may actually want to create a holiday so that there's nobody that has an excuse that they have to work. Because we all have the duty and we all should be doing it in person so that we can be verified. Because in the old days, you used to have to go to the county seat, to the county, the capital of the county or the city where the county, courthouse and where the sheriff resided. And so the sheriff was the one that actually verified whether you were a actual citizen and could vote in the election or not, a citizen of the state and county. And if he didn't recognize you, you couldn't vote. So we're going to wrap up on the last couple of these committees. We'll get through the rest of the roles and responsibilities, how these things kind of work in your constitutional county. We're getting into then the issues and how to tie all of these things together. These are the issues that we need to campaign on. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless. Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our Republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org.
www.theshowisponsoredbyreclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much.